Good morning. I invite you to take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I would like to deal with verses 12 to 21 and speak on the subject of a better representative. Now, this passage of Scripture deals with the comparison of man's fall in Adam and the restoration of fallen sinners in Christ. Now, everything that Paul tends to illustrate in this passage is summed up with this one statement. We are condemned on account of what Adam did, and we're justified on account of what Christ did. Now, the fact that Adam was a type of Christ is definitely so. The Scripture says in our passage in the 14th verse, who is, that is, speaking of Adam, a figure of him that was to come. But his comparison is in this wise only, that Adam was a representative. He was a head of a people, as the Lord Jesus Christ is the head or the representative of a people. But this comparison has striking differences in that the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ and his imputed righteousness far exceed the evil from Adam's transgression. Now, Adam was the cause of all men becoming sinners. In Romans 5, verse 12, the Scripture says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now that means that in Adam, all men were considered sinners. Sin entered the world. Now sin existed before the fall of Adam. The Scripture says that there were angels that rebelled against Almighty God. There was a war that was in heaven, and the Scripture says that these rebellious angels were cast out. But sin entered mankind is what it's saying. Sin entered the world. It just the same word in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That means mankind. So sin entered the world. It invaded the race of man. Sin began to be in the world. All men became corrupt. Now, the entrance of sin is the ground of universal death, physical and spiritual. This is the reason that we die. This is the reason animals die. This is the reason plants die. Death is because of sin. Now, this nature slumbers in the breast or the heart of every man and reveals itself in his general conduct. Because of the entrance of sin, man is without a righteousness that God will accept. Man became subject to death or sin. That's the reason of his death. Genesis 2:17 says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Almighty God told Adam in the garden, you can eat of the fruit of all of these trees, but there's one tree, and you're not to touch that fruit, not to eat of that fruit. Now, that tree, that fruit, represented God's sovereignty. Adam had permission to eat of anything but of that tree, and life was promised to our first parents as the reward of obedience, and death was threatened as the punishment for disobedience. Now, as Adam brought sin on all men, he brought death on all men. Now, listen to me carefully here. Men do not die because they personally sin. Death is more extensive than personal transgression. Now, do all men sin? Well, certainly they do. Are all men rebellious? Certainly they are. Are all men conceived in sin? Absolutely. Do all men come forth from their mother's womb speaking lies? Yes, they do. But men die because they are regarded and treated as sinners on the account of Adam's sin. All sinned when Adam sinned. His act, for a good and proper reason, was regarded as their act. You say, how in the world can you say that Adam's act of sin and rebellion, and by that sin, death, passed on all men, how can you say that that was a good and proper act, or how could it have a good and proper meaning? Well, it means this, that there are sinners who will be dealt with in a representative. Now, if this seems unfair to you, well, you consider our position in Christ, for God's elect, for the chosen. Consider their position as being represented by another. When he died on the cross, all of God's sheep died in him, crucified with him. When he rose from the dead, they rose with him, seated with him in heavenly places. Now verses 13 and 14 in our passage says this, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Now the proof that death has passed upon all men because of the sin of one man is found right here. Paul says, "For until the law came," the law of Moses. Now we know this, bearing it out by Scripture. If there's no law, sin is not imputed. But the Scripture says that men died before the law of Moses. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, obviously, there was some law in relation to men that was being charged to them as being sinners. There was a violation of some law, and for that, men were dying, the Scripture says. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed. Well, what was the law? Well, it was this. Because of Adam's guilt and sin, all were constituted to be sinners. Why? Because Adam was their head. God regarded them to be in Adam. Because of Adam, God treats all men to be out of fellowship with him. Because of Adam, all have forfeited his favor. Men begin to exist out of communion with God. We begin to exist in moral darkness and without a disposition to please God, even after those who did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's talking about infants and infidels, those that do not sin the way that Adam sinned. How did he sin? Well, he sinned with his eyes wide open. He rebelled against Almighty God, knowing what he did. When an infant dies, why does that infant die? Well, because sin is on that infant. I know we have the thought that infants come forth, you know, pure and with no sin and no guilt. But if an infant dies, what does the Scripture say? The wages of sin is death. So if an infant dies, that infant died because sin was there. The sin of Adam was flowing in his veins. Now, I do believe that Almighty God in His infinite mercy and grace has made provision for these infants that do die. David said concerning that infant that died, I can go where he is. He can't come back to me. But I do know that in God's mercy, God has provided for these infants and infidels. But sin is the reason. Now in verses 15 to 17, we find, though, these words, "much more." By the offense of Adam, the Scripture says the many that he represented that fell in death. Oh, how horrible that thought. The free gift, the gift of grace by this man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. Though Adam's sin brought all men under God's condemnation, the free gift of grace has justified not only those that found themselves in Adam's guilt, but for every manifestation of their disobedience, the grace of God covers. In Adam, all were brought subject to be outcast, rejected, plunged into everlasting darkness. But for those regarded in Christ, by Christ, to receive the abundance of His grace, the various graces of His mercy, they reign by one, Christ Jesus. They reign now in a spiritual life over sin and Satan and the world, and they will reign with Christ in the world to come. Therefore, and here's the summation of all that's been said before, just like judgment came by the offense of one, came upon all those that man represented, by the righteousness of one, all that he represents shall be justified and are justified. By the obedience of Christ, righteousness has been found in his people. Now, Adam's transgression didn't make us susceptible to sin. By his fall, we were actually made sinners, even so. Christ's obedience didn't make us savable or enable us to be righteous before God by our own works. We were actually made righteous and sanctified totally on the basis of that which he did for us. The law came to make apparent the evil that was in us by birth and practice. The law reveals what we are, guilty sinners. We do not find ourselves justified before God by keeping the law. The law reveals sin. But where sin abounded, grace has much more abounded. Well, as my head, and as I am guilty, as I was in the garden, Adam has been that one that represented me as a fallen sinner. No doubt I can see and feel the part I have in Adam's transgression, the failings, the doubts, the fears. I admit that in myself I'm worthy of death. Well, am I as convinced of my part in Christ as I am as my part in Adam? Am I as interested in those things that pertain to Him, the obeyed law, justice satisfied, free justification? I prove daily my part in Adam. Do I prove my part in Christ? Do I love His gospel of free grace and free pardon by His shed blood? Is He, as my head, precious? Is His salvation all of my hope? His covenant, this is what David said, this is all my hope, my salvation. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, sure in all things. Yes, I do admit, I can see my part in Adam. But do I behold my part in the Lord Jesus Christ as my head, by faith, casting myself upon His mercy, loving Him as God's representative for His people, God's substitute, the Lamb, pure and spotless before His law. If I can find myself in Him, I'm associated with Him. Well, we appreciate you being with us this morning, and we invite you next Sunday to tune in at the same time, 7:45. Until next Sunday, God bless you.